if you would, I know that the house is packed, and maybe this is a little old school. It may even be a little uncomfortable for some of you, but if you would you take the hand of your neighbor? If you were firmly against hand-holding, you could put your hand on their shoulder. I won't blame you. That's okay, too. And let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we are so blessed today to be able to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. Today, we can come to the throne of grace with boldness because of what Jesus has done. He has conquered hell. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered fear. He has conquered shame. He has conquered sickness. He has conquered insecurity. He has conquered pride. He has conquered sin. And God, today we can stand before you with confidence, knowing that we are among the redeemed of the Lamb. We love you. We worship you. And God, we thank you today for what you have done. And Father, for what you are going to do. And we worship you, we praise you, and we give our lives unto you. And with that, we pray this all in the strong name of the Son of God. And now you can let go of those hands and let's put them together as we once again shout to the Lord. Come on. Come on, let's take 30 seconds and give him the best we've got. Before you find a seat, find you a few neighbors, give them a handshake, hug, or high five, and you tell them, He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. There you go. One more time. He is risen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I just checked on my iPad to make sure the air conditioner is on, and it is. This jacket's on too. I can't take it off though. Nobody wants that. Man, it's so good to see all of you today. I want to thank you so much for being patient with our ushers as we make sure that we find seats for everyone. I know it's crowded in here, and I wish it was always this crowded, and who knows, maybe next week it will be. Yeah. I'm already feeling we're going to at least two services next Easter. It's so good to see. It's so good to see all the beautiful smiling faces. Love watching everyone walk in with just celebration all over them, because today is a great day to have a great day. Today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just one more time, can we thank Him so much for what He's done for us? Yes, Lord, we love You. We thank You, Jesus. I want to welcome you to Lifehouse, whether this is your 10,000th Sunday or your first Sunday. We are so blessed and privileged that you chose to be with us today. You could have made a lot of other options, and there are many wonderful churches in our community, and any church would have been a great church for you to be at today, I believe. But I'm blessed that you chose to be here. Lifehouse family, can we celebrate those who are guests with us today? I had a family, I think they're over here, I gotta be careful. They told me when they walked in, they said, we've been coming here for a few months, we've just been coming online. Today is our first Sunday to be in. Right there, yeah, there, I saw you earlier. And so we love you so much. Thank you for joining us today. He didn't say this, but I was hoping he would say, you're taller in person, but he didn't say that. Yeah, yeah. Believe in those things that are not as though they were. That's in the Bible, so we're gonna just do that, right? But it's so blessed to be with you today. If you got your Bible, go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. The last chapter of Luke, right before you go into John. Luke chapter 24. If you're there, say amen. All right, let's stand as we read God's word together. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Yes, come on. So what did they do? They went up in there. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling white robes. The women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He ain't here. That's what he said. If he is from East Tennessee, that's how he said it. He ain't here. They said, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Don't you remember? Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Once again, let's celebrate the Lord. Amen. I have a question for you, and it's a little bit of a confrontational question, but I had to wrestle with it all week, so now you get to wrestle with it. Actually, I've been wrestling with it for a few months because I knew what I was going to preach on today for a long time. So here's the question. Are you living like the tomb is empty, or are you living like Jesus is still hanging on that cross? That's my question for you today. Because if the tomb is really empty, everything changes. Everything changes. I want to preach to you today an incredibly simple but incredibly important message that I'm just going to call Nothing is Impossible. Nothing is impossible. Look at your neighbor and tell them, nothing is impossible. Look at your other neighbor, the one you dissed a second ago, and you tell them, nothing is impossible. And so today, I want to encourage you in all areas of your life that you would not live like Jesus is still on the cross, that you would not live like Jesus's body is still in that tomb, but that you would begin to live like you have never lived before, that he really did conquer death, that he really did walk out of that tomb, that he really did ascend to the Father, where scripture tells us he makes intercession, where he is praying for us. I want to encourage you today. I'm just going to go ahead and preach the whole thing in this one sentence. That you would live like nothing is impossible, because Jesus has proved with God all things are possible. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much that we get to do this, that we get to worship, that we get to give our hearts and our attention and all that we are, our strength, our soul, and our mind unto you. And God, we pray over the next few moments for a special anointing in this place, from this auditorium to Kids House to nursery, that every single person on this property, that everybody with a pulse today would receive this message, that with God all things are possible. The lost can be saved, the broken can be restored, the sick can be healed, and in Jesus' name, the dead can rise. We love you and we pray all of this in the name of our strong Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen. Before you're seated, I know your hands are probably hurting, but before you're seated one more time, can we just shout to the Lord for a moment? Amen, amen, amen. Now you can be seated. Praise God. Praise God. As I already told you, I got a very simple message, 3 points, no poem, sorry about that. But I got a very simple message I want to preach to you today, but it's a very important message I want to preach to you today. And whether you do not currently have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've been walking with Jesus for 25 years, I believe that God wants to do something in your life today. I believe the Lord wants faith to be built in your life today. I believe God wants to see you start praying differently than you've been praying. I believe that today that God wants you to begin praying with a boldness and a confidence, knowing that what we ask in the name of Jesus, when we are aligned with the will of God, according to his word, not according to my words, that our prayers will be heard and our prayers will be answered. I believe today that when you leave this place, that there is going to be new faith in you to believe for miracles, to have a boldness to share your faith. Come on, somebody. I'm just believing that when you leave this place, your family's going to be different. Your dinner time's going to be different. Your home's going to be different. The place that you work's going to be different. The place that you go to school is going to be different because of what God has done and is doing in you. And even more important, or excuse me, not more importantly, but at least as important as what God is doing in you, what God is going to start doing through you. That we would live. Not just with a profession of faith, but with the action of faith that Jesus really did. Because he really did rise from the dead. Because that changes everything. Are you with me already? Say amen. Amen. You ready for point number one? Point number one, Jesus was really dead. Because this is important. We have to establish this truth before we can properly and with the enthusiasm that it rightly deserves celebrate the resurrection, we have to first understand that there was a crucifixion. Crucifixion was brutal, you guys. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen The Passion of the Christ. Many of you have read excerpts from the Bible or different commentaries or books talking about the brutality of the crucifixion. Many of you have probably seen other movies or other shows that have depicted it in some way or another. But I'm here today to tell you that crucifixion, in my opinion, has to be one of the worst ways to end a person's life. John 19 tells us that Jesus carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called the place of the skull. In Hebrew, it was called Golgotha. Verse 18, they nailed him to the cross. They didn't tie him up. They put nails in his hands and they put nails in his feet. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus in between them. Verse 28, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. Look at your neighbor and say, it is finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I'm thirsty. Verse number 30, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. That I'm going to mess it up, but in Greek, where's John Fall at? I need him to lip sync it to me. Telestai. That phrase in Greek is just one word. It's telestai. And what it means in the most literal sense, if I were to buy that vest off of AJ, it's a good-looking vest. Got a flag on the back of it. That's what I'm talking about. If I were to buy that vest off of AJ, and he were to say, all right, $20, and you can have this vest, and I were to pay the money for that vest, and then the vest was handed to me, if we were using the terminology that would have been used in this day and age, telestai would have described what just occurred, that the transaction was finished. It was complete. Jesus had come. He had done what he came to do. Telestai, it is finished. It is done. It is complete. Those who were lost in sin have been redeemed. No longer do they belong to the prince of this world, who is Satan himself. They are now back where they belong, the children of God. And John 1:12 tells us that to all who believed upon him, he has given them not the opportunity, but the right to be called the children of God. Verse something. 33, when they came to Jesus, you see, they were going to go by and break the legs of everyone still on the cross because they wanted to expedite the death because Passover was starting. When they came to Jesus, ready to break his legs, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't have to break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side. They were just confirming, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus did not simply just die. He did not simply even suffer. Jesus was tortured. Roman crucifixion wasn't just a method of execution. It was a masterclass in human cruelty. Crucifixion was not intended to just kill a person, but to strip them of every bit of dignity that they held on to. Victims were usually crucified naked. I know in all the shows, Jesus has got a little cloth on him, but the likelihood of him having any clothing at all is very unlikely. He was probably completely naked. He was exposed to the elements and to the mocking eyes of the crowd. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was mocked with a crown of thorns and a sarcastic robe, and he was nailed to a cross with a sign above his head that read, King of the Jews. Probably meant more as a joke than an actual title. Death by crucifixion was slow. And the main way that a person died being crucified wasn't through blood loss. It wasn't through the breaking of some important bones. It was through suffocation. The only way to exhale when you're on a cross would be to push up from your feet, which are nailed to that cross, so that you could get some air. And this cycle of agony would go on for hours, and for some people, days. That's our Lord who went through that for us. The word excruciating, and you hear it said, you may recognize it, literally means from the cross.
Jesus died an excruciating death. He endured lashes with a whip embedded with bone and metal and glass designed to tear through flesh and muscle. He was beaten so badly that Isaiah says that he was unrecognizable. Nails, again, were hammered through nerve-rich areas in the wrists and in the feet. Pain was constant. There was no way to get relief. There was no way to escape it. And as a final confirmation of his death, a soldier thrust a spear through his side, rupturing the sac around his heart, and blood and water poured out. Can I tell you, my friends, that Jesus did not simply die. Rather, he endured the worst death imaginable so that we could receive the greatest gift imaginable, and that gift is abundant eternal life. Jesus didn't fake his death. He didn't faint. He died. 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And I think it's easy sometimes for us to overlook the spiritual side of what Jesus suffered on the cross. Not only did he carry the weight of his body and those feet that were nailed to the cross and those hands that were nailed to the cross, he carried the weight of all the sin of all humanity. He didn't just suffer physically. He suffered emotionally, mentally, and spiritually so that we would never have to. One more time, can we thank Jesus for what he's done for us? Amen. Jesus was, look at your neighbor and say, was. You got to say it with a little twang to it. Was. Jesus was really dead, but I got good news for you. Jesus is fully alive. The tomb is empty. Matthew tells us in Matthew 28, kind of a repeat of what we read from Luke. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Now, just a side note, not part of the sermon, I just have to bring this to your attention. Mary, during this time and age, the name Mary during this time in history was apparently as popular as Jessica was in the 80s and the 90s. There's a ton of Marys in the Gospels, and if you can keep them straight, props to you, because I can't. I'm always wondering, now, which Mary are we talking about today? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Verse 2, suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said what happened. Jesus was really dead, but on the third day, everything changed. Death did not defeat Jesus. Jesus defeated death. Sin did not defeat Jesus. Jesus defeated sin. Fear did not defeat Jesus. Jesus defeated fear. The stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, but so that we could look in there and confirm that it really was and is empty. The same body that had been beaten beyond recognition and buried walked out fully alive and glorified. Jesus says himself in Revelation 1, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. And if Jesus can walk out of the grave, anything is possible.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my key. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? He's a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been. And he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor. And he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him. And there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him. And he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah. Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah. Yeah. That's my king.
S.M. Lockridge in the 90s, or excuse me, in the 70s, said, that's my king. I want to tell you today that because Jesus our King is alive, that your past can be forgiven, your chains can be broken, your prayers are not pointless, your dreams are not dead, your family is not too far gone, your soul is not too stained, your pain can have purpose, your weakness can become your strength, your future is secure, your tears are not wasted, your battles are not bigger than your God, your sickness is not the final word, your identity is not defined by your failures, your waiting is not in vain. Your joy can be restored. Your enemies cannot win. Your questions still have hope. And even your death is not the end. Because our King is a living King. He is a reigning King. He is a mighty King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. Because he lives, nothing is impossible. Because he lives, nothing is impossible. But here's the catch. All too often, we live not the way we live on Easter Sunday, when faith is high, when energy is through the roof. Rather, we live like Jesus is still in that tomb. You see, he has conquered it all. He is King over it all. But if we do not grasp that reality, if we do not take hold of it for ourselves, then it doesn't do us any good. Jonna, I was sitting in my office before church and I heard you talking about cars outside. I like your little Bronco. It's a nice truck. But if you decided you wanted to give it to me, and by the way, I mean, that sounds like a great idea. And you went and you put the keys on my desk and you parked it right out there and you signed the title over to me and everything. I mean, I feel the Lord in this. It would match my Bible. If you decided to do that, and you put the keys on my desk, and you put the title on my desk, and I took those keys, and I took that title, and I opened my desk drawer, and I raked them in that drawer, and I shut the drawer, and that Bronco sat in the parking lot, and I never took the keys out. I never got in it. I never drove it anywhere. It just sat there. It would be available to me. But if I chose not to take advantage of the gift that had been given to me, I would be robbed of the joy. I would be robbed of the, now here I'm talking about the Lord. I would be robbed of the privilege. I would be robbed of the power. I would be robbed of the rights that are mine in that they are available to me because I have chosen to live in a way that ignores the gift that's been given to me. And here is the hard confrontational truth that we all must face. Are we living? Are we thinking? Are we speaking? Are we praying as if Jesus really did rise from the dead? Or are we living? Are we thinking? Are we speaking? Are we praying like he's still in the tomb? Because he's not. But if you don't start living like he's not, it won't do you any good. Because he lives. Nothing is impossible. Don't carry the burdens that he died to free you from. And don't live in the fear that he defeated hell to free you from. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And I want to encourage you today to start living like it. I want to encourage you today in the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you pray, the way you believe, to live like the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead really does live in you, because he does. If Jesus is Lord of your life, he does. But I recognize that for maybe someone in the room, Jesus is not Lord and Savior of your life. And so today, if you are here and you have not put your trust in Jesus, or maybe at one time in your life you did, but if you're being honest with yourself, your trust is not in him anymore. Your trust is in the things of this world. It's in what people do or say. It's in the money in your bank account. Your trust is in the job that you have. I don't know. Maybe it's in a relationship. I don't know. But if you're being honest with yourself, your trust is not in Jesus. Do not wait for another Easter. Do not wait for another day to come before you put all of your trust in him. So if you have never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you have given your life to Jesus, but you know you've walked away from that new life that is yours. You've opened the drawer and you've raked the keys in there and you're not taking advantage of it. But today you would say, Drew, I want to live in the fullness of God for my life. I want to be saved from my sin. I want to be forgiven from my past. I want to be freed from my guilt. I want to be made new in Christ Jesus. And I want him, not me, to be the Lord of my life. If you're in the house today and you want to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. And listen, I know this is bold and I know it may be scary, but we believe in public confession. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, if you openly, not hiddenly, but openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so today, if you want to be saved, right where you are seated, we love you. There's no one in this place that's going to judge you. I can assure you of that. If you want to be saved today, right where you are seated, would you stand tall? Would you stand to your feet today? I want to pray with you and believe God with you. Come on, is there anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? You guys just stay standing for me, if you will, for a moment. If you are here today and you do believe and you would say, Jesus is my Lord, but sometimes I still live like he's in that tomb. But today, everything changes. Today, I want to have resurrected faith because I serve a resurrected Savior. And I want to live with boldness. And I want to live with courage. And I want to live in freedom. And I want to live with expectancy. If that's you today, and you know that because he lives, nothing is impossible, and you are ready to start living that way, would you stand to your feet and join these who've already stood? If you stood up for salvation a few moments ago, I want to invite you to come to this altar and find one of our prayer team members. They're good people. They're going to love you. They're going to pray with you. They're going to encourage you. I want you to find one of our prayer team members. Father, I pray for every person who just stood, that today that they would walk in newness of life like they have never walked in before. God, that they would completely commit all that they are to you, that they would give not just a portion of their life, that they wouldn't give 75% of their life or 99% of their life, but that they would go all in with you because you have gone all in with us. And today that we would be men and women of God who believe for the impossible, because Jesus, you have proven that with you the impossible is possible. And so if you're standing, or maybe you're not standing, if you would like prayer today, maybe you just want somebody to pray with you, that you would live with expectancy like you've never lived before. Maybe you're praying for a miracle. Maybe you're praying for healing today. Maybe for yourself or for somebody else. Maybe you're praying for a prodigal son or daughter who's walked away from the faith. I want to invite you, as we worship for a little while, if you would come to this altar. If you want someone to pray with you, go find one of our prayer team members. They would love to pray with you. Or maybe you just want to come to the altar to pray yourself. That is completely fine. But as we worship, I want you to know that today, because He lives, nothing is impossible. Because He lives, I'll say it again, nothing is impossible. These altars are open. Let's worship the Lord.
I know who I am. I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. I wasn't made to
come on, let's sing it out.
In a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are.
Lifehouse, would you lift your hands and sing it out to Him?
Cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, it's worth the living. So I was made to be tend in the grave. I was called by. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
He is risen. He is risen. I pray over your life house that the Lord would bless you and protect you, that the Lord would smile on you and be gracious to you, and that he would show you his favor and give you his peace. And may it be so in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus. And everyone said amen. I hope you have an amazing rest of your Resurrection Sunday. Whatever you do today, whatever you do this week, remember, because the tomb is empty, all things are possible. Be blessed. I love you, Lifehouse.